Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from His only Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. Our sermon text this morning is the account of that event found in Mark's Gospel in chapter 9, beginning at verse 2, and I would invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text today. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them, but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We ask that by them you would strengthen our faith and separate us from this world unto yourself. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. And you may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I still remember one particular day from kindergarten. It was about 250 years ago. No, just kidding. It's the day I learned about moths. Mrs. Miller, my teacher, took the whole class outside. They used to do that in the old days. Took us all outside to see something that was on a tree. It was this hideous green caterpillar. And then she showed us a beautiful moth that she had captured in a big mason jar. And she said to us that that moth once looked like that caterpillar. And of course, I don't know that we all believed her at that point in time. It was a kind of amazing thing. She had found a cocoon on a branch, and she put it into a jar and brought it into our classroom. And every day we would go and look at that cocoon, because she said one day the caterpillar that was inside of that cocoon would emerge as a moth. And she called it metamorphosis. And that was cool, because that was a big word to know at such a young age. And one day, it happened just as she said. That moth climbed its way out of the cocoon, and we were all amazed. With all our big words, we still don't really do justice to the wonder of metamorphosis. The word metamorphosis is composed of two Greek words, meta and morphē, which together mean a changing of form. And if we were to look in the Latin language, those same two words are trans and figura. So that's where we get the word transfiguration from, a changing of form. It's the same word from Latin roots as metamorphosis is from the Greek roots. And today is Transfiguration Sunday. Today we are thinking about and remembering our Lord's amazing metamorphosis. Before Peter, James, and John. And especially today, we want to think about the effect of that event on our lives. It's not immediately obvious, I don't think. We'll see that Christ is our cocoon. We're changed in Him. Christ is able to transform us from the ugly old Adam by His own metamorphosis into a beautiful new man. I still remember that caterpillar. It was a sickly green color, and it had a bulbous front with big eyes, black eyes, many feet, and it sort of moved around with these gross gyrations on the tree. It was really ugly, and I sure didn't want it to be near me. And it made me think, what must it be like for God when He looks at my sin, at the sickly green stain of my jealousy and envy of others, the bulbous sins of greed and gluttony, those dark eyes of selfishness and malice and hatred and anger and all those terrible emotions that go through my mind once in a while? Is He disgusted by the ugliness of our sins? Does He see our many sins, just like I saw the many feet of that caterpillar? When God holds up His law before my eyes, and I see it and hear it, it's like looking in a mirror, only I don't see my normally handsome face. I see what the law shows me about myself, staring back at me, my selfishness and arrogance. And I see my death looming over me. And I'm brought to ask this question, how? How can I be cleansed of this ugliness, this selfishness, this arrogance? How can I be saved from death? Can I just wash it away with plain water like so much dirt? Well, I wish it were that easy, but it's not. We can't. The ugly old Adam is just as much a part of us as our hearts and our personalities. It's always with us. That's why the apostle reminds us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sure, we could try to scrub it all away with rituals and cleansings, but we'd only end up making matters worse, making our sin worse. Plain water can't wash away the guilt, because we cannot wash away our own guilt. We need something more. We need to be transformed like the caterpillar. Not just our bodies either, but our souls. We need a complete spiritual metamorphosis, a transfiguration. In our sermon text, we find half of God's answer to our question. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and He was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is My beloved Son. Hear Him." In our sermon text, we see Jesus transfigured. Of all who have ever lived, Jesus is the only one who was transfigured in this way. God changed His appearance. God glorified Him. His normal body was transfigured to a glorified body. God demonstrated right then and there that Jesus had power over death by bringing Moses and Elijah to serve him. God demonstrated right then and there that Jesus had no sin of his own when he said to him, "This is my beloved Son." If only there were a way for us to be transfigured like this. There is, fellow redeemed. Moses and Elijah were there. They were glorified. We can be at Jesus' side too, but we need to be changed not by ourselves, but by God. We have to be saved from our ugly sinfulness. Well, right about now you're asking the question that the jailer in Philippi asked, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the scriptures say, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. How does believing and baptizing change us? For that we turn again to St. Peter, who was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. In his letters, he brings this incident up. Do you remember what God the Father said to Jesus at his baptism? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Peter, in his letter, combines the words that were spoken by the Lord at his transfiguration and at his baptism. He puts them together like this. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" The first half is from the transfiguration account, and the second half, "in whom I am well pleased," is from the baptismal account, when Jesus was baptized. These things are connected. Peter wants us to know that baptism is our metamorphosis in Christ. Baptized into his name, God begins to reshape us in the image of our Savior. When we were baptized, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For since we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Right there, on the cross, fellow redeemed, there is our cocoon, our ugliness, our sins, covered inside the cocoon of Jesus Christ. And what emerges is that dazzling heavenly brightness and beauty of the new man, the image of God restored in us. The transfiguration proves it to us. Baptism connects us to it. When we are baptized, we're placed inside Christ. The Word of God enters our souls and begins to reshape us. So how can baptism do such great things? Luther reminds us, it is certainly not the water that does such things, but God's Word, which is in and with the water, and faith, which trusts this Word used with the water. For without God's Word, the water is just plain water and not baptism. But with this word, it is baptism. God's word makes it a washing through which God graciously forgives our sin and grants us rebirth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. Water connected with God's word. That's what washes away the ugliness of sin. It causes a metamorphosis within us so that we have now the ability to resist temptation. That's why it is written, "No temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Look at what he's done for you. Think about it. Do as God commands, but with gratitude and joy in your heart. Follow Jesus in his righteous life. And maybe you're asking what happens when we sin again. I know that's going to happen to me. I know I'm going to do that. That ugly old Adam rears his head every day. Well, take heart. Remember your baptism. Listen to God. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You have your baptism, in which you may repent. God washed you clean in his name, and God mercifully, graciously returns you to that one baptism to wash away your sins, to make you clean again every time you hear his word of forgiveness. Believe on him. Rely on him. He will not disappoint you. He will never disappoint you. So walk in newness of life, fellow redeemed, freshly minted. You have a fresh start this morning, dear Christian. You are the beautiful new man in Christ. You have a reliable connection to the forgiveness that God won for you on the cross, one that cannot be taken away from you. You have your baptism in which every day you are washed clean in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And each day, look to Christ's transfiguration and know that in him you are being changed. You are undergoing a spiritual metamorphosis, and you too will one day be glorified, eternal, sinless, confirmed forever in God's heavenly kingdom. All this God has done for you. Revel in it. Marvel in it. Give thanks for it. Your metamorphosis is underway. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.